tragic accident that left actor Christopher Reeve a quadriplegic. In 1995, he suffered just a horrific horseback riding fall that led to him being paralyzed from the neck down. And his medical team ranked his injuries at the most severe level that there could be for a spinal injury. And they ranked his possibilities of any kind of recovery, not simply walking, but even being able to move any part of his body or feel anything from the neck down. Those possibilities were extremely low. But Reeve proved them wrong. Through a lot of determination, through patience, through a very rigorous and dedicated exercise regimen, while he was not able to walk again, he ultimately regained some type of movement, some level of movement in over 20% of his body, and physical sensation in almost 70% of his body. His doctors called it a miracle. And Reeve achieved that miracle by not only exercising his body. In fact, you can read about it. You wonder, how could he exercise his body? He had a whole amazing regimen. You can read about it at ChristopherReeve.org. But he not only exercised his body, he exercised his mind. Because he was a true believer in the connection between the body and the mind. He knew that he could use his mind to help him heal. And he was firmly convinced that he would someday walk again. And so he constantly would visualize that, sort of giving himself some internal exercise, if you will, maybe to reconnect the circuitry in there. And he said that even when he dreamed, he was not disabled. You see, Christopher Reeve had great expectations. And those expectations nurtured his body, they enlivened his spirit, they expanded his possibilities. They made his quality of life so much richer. And he went on to be a passionate advocate for the disabled. He gave new hope to people who had degenerative or paralytic diseases that had once been considered hopeless. And as he went around and as he gave his public speeches and his appearances and whatnot, eventually he came to emphasize three core beliefs. And the first was an unshakable certainty that the grace of something higher emerges when we muster the will to face our tragedies. A higher grace emerges. Second, the belief that our minds wield crucial control over the health of our bodies. And the third was the conviction that we have the potential to grow beyond what we are told is possible. He said, "We are capable of so much more than we know." That sounds a lot like what Jesus taught, doesn't it? That we are capable of so much more than we know. In fact, Jesus made it very clear that we are not helpless victims in this life, but we are, in fact, powerful beyond measure. You see, he wanted to shift our consciousness so that we would know that we, too, can manifest miracles. "What I have done, you shall do, too. And greater things still shall you do," he said. He told us, "You are the light of the world. You have the seeds of greatness within you. Let them grow." You see, Jesus wanted us to discover the power within us, including the power of our own minds. And that is actually foundational to the teachings of unity. As we say, we create our own reality through the thoughts we choose to think. We create our own reality, our internal reality, but furthermore, the images that we hold in here begin to show up out here. We call it the law of mind action. Shorten it to say, what we think about, we bring about. Or, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Let me just say as an aside here, but this does not mean that everything that shows up in our lives has a causal link to something that we thought. We call that metaphysical malpractice in Unity. When someone says, "Oh, I'm having this illness or this trouble, it must be because I held some erroneous thought." No. What this says is that there is a power within you that you can tap into to improve your life, improve your health, that you can apply to sort of reshape your reality. And so this is the true meaning of being able to discover this power within us, to discover, as we just sang in the song, that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. We can create anything we want in this life, anything. You see, we believe that we are made in the image and likeness. We humans are made in the image and likeness of the great creative force that created everything. And so we, too, are here to create. We are powerful, creative, spiritual beings with unlimited possibilities before us. And when we really know that, when we know that we have this power that we were just singing of, and we learn how to apply it, knowing that we have that, we can live with great expectations, right? Because who knows what we will create? So I think of expectations as sort of intentions on steroids. Because expectation doesn't just say, I want something to happen, or I intend for something to happen. It says, I fully expect for this to happen. This is going to happen. In fact, we actually start moving into a consciousness where it's a given, where it kind of becomes our set point. We are so fully expecting it. We are so fully embodying it. So this is when we really take our expectation to this sort of deeper level, when we realize that we have capabilities beyond what anything we've ever dreamed. And when we're in this state of expectation, it raises our vibration, right? Because haven't you ever had this when you're really expecting something, you just have a sense of knowing that this is going to happen, you start getting like a little kid inside, you're excited, you're sort of eager in eager anticipation. And that raised vibration creates an energy field within us and all around us. And before we know it, these images that we've been holding in our minds begin to appear before us. Now, I realize that this may sound like magical thinking. Oh, sure, particularly some of you who are new may be thinking, really, we just think it and it appears in our lives? But actually, science confirms this. Quantum physics tells us that our thoughts affect physical reality. You know, the smallest component of matter is subatomic particles. And as they've delved into these subatomic particles, it turns out that what they really are is just these little, sort of very little, pulsating packets of energy. They're really nothing more than little bundles of potentiality. Only when we apply our thought to them, only when we observe them, do they begin to take form and appear to be solid. So just think of that, these potentialities floating around. You apply your mind to it and it begins to take form. So powerful are these thoughts that we have within us, the power of a directed thought. When we zero in on something that we really want as a desired outcome or we expect it, then amazing things start lining up. Amazing things start appearing in our world, in our reality. We may find certain conditions or circumstances. I'm having a little trouble here. Or synchronicities, people, resources, whatever we need for our dream to happen, suddenly they're there. Have you ever had this happen in your life? Oh, yeah, so have I. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a beautiful, amazing thing. Most notably, I know I've told this story before, but honestly, folks, this is the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. I have to share it again. When I was in 2006, when I was living in Portland, Oregon, I'd lived there for 27 years, very happy there, raised my kids there. And I started feeling this call to become a Unity minister. And I began to feel that eventually I would want to move to Kansas City, Missouri, so that I could go to ministerial school at Unity Village. But I had no idea how that could happen. I had no idea. Uh-oh. What's happening when we hold in our mind what we want to have happen? So here's what was going on for me in 2006. Living in Portland, Oregon, having a good life, but feeling that call to become a minister and wondering, how could that ever happen for me? moving to Kansas City, Missouri. I was a single mom, two teenage children, or one of them, I guess, was 21. And it just seemed like a big deal to uproot my family. But over time, that desire in me took seed and began to grow. And after a while, even though I didn't know how it was going to happen, I knew it was going to happen. I just knew this was going to happen. I expected that somehow I was going to get myself to Kansas City, Missouri, and I was going to become a minister. And as soon as that expectation really lodged in me, as soon as I was clear on that was what was going to happen, incredible things started happening. I mean, like big, incredible things. For example, I got laid off. And that was great, because I hated the place I was. It was not a good fit. I got laid off, and I was like, well, a clean slate. And then my son, who had one more year of college, told me at University of Oregon, he goes, when I graduate, I'm leaving Oregon. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go live in New York City. I'm like, interesting. And then my daughter, who was just graduating from high school in 2006, she said she had decided she was going to go to journalism school at University of Missouri, 2 hours from Kansas City. I thought, come on. But the capper was when I met with the HR person at the firm that I was leaving, and it was my exit interview, you know, and she wanted to know what my plans were, what I was going to do. And I said, well, I'm planning to move to Kansas City, actually, and there's only one thing I haven't taken care of yet. I haven't figured out how to do. I'd have to figure out how to move my horse, because I had a horse at the time. How am I going to move my horse, and where am I going to stable him when I get there? I kid you not. She says to me, really, where are you moving again? I said, well, I'm moving to Kansas City. Actually, I'm moving to Lee Summit outside of Kansas City. She goes, you know, we have a new employee here. She just moved here. I'm pretty sure she moved from Lee Summit, and she has a horse. And I'm pretty sure she moved that horse here. And she could probably share with you how to do that. All right. You know, I mean, talk about a miracle. It was just incredible. So I did end up talking to her. She gave me the place to stable my horse. I mean, things just continued to unfold in that just beautiful, miraculous way. So listen, this is what I want you to hear. The power of your thoughts and your expectations is beyond anything you've ever imagined. It is able to, as Jesus said, basically move mountains. The late Unity minister Eric Butterworth went so far as to say that expectation is the moving force in the power of prayer, just as we in our prayer fully expect our Stacy to fully recover. In his book, Spiritual Economics, Eric Butterworth writes, listen to this, you do not receive what you want, you do not receive what you pray for, not even what you say you have faith in. You will always receive what you actually expect. That's big, isn't it? It tells you that you got to really own this. This has to be something that you know and believe is coming your way and that you deserve. And Butterworth may well have drawn this conclusion from Mark 11:24, where Jesus says, so I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So how can we raise our expectations and attract our amazing good? By being clear on what we want, that is no small thing, and then truly internalizing it, truly owning it. In his book, The Miracle of a Definite Chief Aim, this wonderful book I pulled from for the info on Christopher Reeve as well, it's by Mitch Horowitz, he offers up what he calls the three-step miracle. It's based on a classic 1926 pamphlet called It Works, and Mitch says he's given hundreds of copies of this to people because it's changed their lives. It's a means of identifying what we most truly want so we can fully embrace and commit to it. And here are the very simple but also very powerful steps, and if you decide to do, I'll put it in the e-blast this week so you'll have it. But if you decide to do this, the caveat is you got to be all in. You got to really do it. You got to commit to doing it, not just, you know, superficial. So the first one is you carefully devise a list of what you really want from life. What interests or attracts you? Revise it, rewrite it, Work on it every day. You may throw out what you wrote yesterday and start all over again. That's the process. Keep working it, keep working it. Just keep going. Then you read your list morning, midday, and night, hopefully in a contemplative atmosphere, one where you can really take it in. And the third is, tell no one what you're doing. Because if you tell people what you're doing, guess what? They're going to have opinions. And some of the negative comments can actually help shake your resolve. These dreams belong to you. They're intimate, powerful. They're extremely important. And I would add a fourth. Expect your list to manifest. Expect it to happen. Bring up that energy in you and see it in your mind's eye and feel it in your body. And then when the results show up, give thanks. Give thanks. Yeah. What we appreciate, appreciates. Mitch says this process produces miracles because it pushes us to honestly come to grips with our innermost desires. Amazing things happen when we get focused on what we truly want. Consider the story of Lou Holtz, the famous football coach. Anyone ever heard the story of Lou Holtz? In 1966, at the age of 28, Holtz had lost his job. He had no money in the bank. His wife, Beth, was 8 months pregnant with their third child. And his wife gave him a copy of the book, The Magic of Thinking Big, by David J. Schwartz. And it said you should write down all the goals you want to achieve before you die. So here he was. You just think about how despondent and actually frightened this individual must have been. But he sat down at his dining table, and he began to write. And he came up with 107 goals. Most of which seemed impossible. They included having dinner at the White House, appearing on The Tonight Show, meeting the Pope, becoming the head coach at Notre Dame, winning a national championship, being coach of the year, landing a plane on an aircraft carrier, making a hole in one, and jumping out of an airplane. 3 years later, he was named head coach at William & Mary. In 1986, he became the head coach at Notre Dame. In 1988, Notre Dame won all 11 regular season games, as well as the Fiesta Bowl. Along the way in his life, he had dinner at the White House with Ronald Reagan. He cracked jokes with Johnny Carson. He met the Pope. He jumped out of an airplane. He scored not one, but two holes in one. Come on. He became National Coach of the Year, and he led Notre Dame to a national championship. To date, he's still alive, he has achieved 103 of his original 107 goals. If that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. Because when he wrote those goals down on some level, even though they seemed impossible, he knew that they weren't. And he developed an expectation that he would do them. And so he says, don't be a spectator. Don't let life pass you by. And friends, that's really my message to you today. Don't settle for less than what you want or less than you deserve. Don't do that to yourselves. Aim high. Dream big dreams. Have great expectations. Even if you don't know exactly what's next for you, you can expect it to be something amazing. You can live in that attitude of expectation. Remember Reverend Edwin Gaines said we should start our day going, You can put yourself in that energy of joyful anticipation, just knowing, as the sign on my door says, something wonderful is about to happen. You know, I don't know exactly what my retirement will look like, but I'm expecting it to be big, bright, and beautiful. We don't yet know who the transitional minister will be or the new senior minister, but we can expect them to be a perfect fit. We can expect them to contribute their own unique skills, knowledge, vision, and passion to take Unity Renaissance to a whole new level. We can know that the future will be good and very good for each of us and for all of us. The point is, you have tremendous power within you. Do you know that? Tremendous power within you, so use it. Use it creatively, productively, expansively. Use it to boldly go after your dreams. Use it to joyfully fulfill your purpose. You were not put here to play small. You're capable of more than you have ever dreamed, and Unity Renaissance is capable of more than any of us has ever dreamed. So let us go forward with great expectations, knowing that what we hold in mind is destined to manifest. Together, we make it so. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you for hanging with us.